You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For our look at our featured NHL game tonight on ESPN+, I present Damian Woody. D. Wood?
Yeah, the Kings play the Islanders. Our coverage starts at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. For the Kings fans, to get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And no, I will not be there.
What? You gotta go see your team.
No, you got the colors.
I will not be there this time.
They go see
this time, I got plans. I got plans.
But I will
be at UBS Arena. Trust me on that.
Okay. You know what his plans are? To watch the game on ESPN Plus, and you should too. And with that, we welcome you back to become live every day from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. This is Get Up. We're jammed, and we have huge news. Let's go, Cindy. No time to waste. We're getting up with major breaking news today. The first coach has been hired. And all signs now point to Aaron Rodgers having a new home. We will start there in just a moment. Don't miss it. Plus, Tom versus Time. Has Time finally won? By the way, you'll hear from Gronk as well on his own future. There's a lot to say in Tampa. Meanwhile, is Jerry just waiting on Peyton? Does this marriage make too much sense not to happen? There's so much football to get to, and we will starting right now with the breaking news this morning that involves the first domino falling and the coaching carousel and potentially an enormous impact on the biggest name in the sport. Adam Schefter, take it away.
Well, the Denver Broncos are hiring Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers offensive coordinator, Green. And what happened here as background is that the Broncos identified Hackett as somebody that they were very interested in all week long. It became pretty apparent that that was the guy they were zeroing in on. And then yesterday, it came out that Nathaniel Hackett was scheduled to be in Jacksonville today for a second interview with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who also had some interest in Nathaniel Hackett, clearly bringing him in for a second interview. But before Hackett could get on that plane to go to Jacksonville, the Broncos started and commenced negotiations to get a deal done to keep him in Denver, and that's exactly what happened. They reached a deal late last night to where he will not be getting on that plane today, and the Packers offensive coordinator instead will be going to Denver to be introduced as the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. And so we just look at where he's come from and what it is. The Broncos didn't hire Nathaniel Hackett because they want to use that as a chip to trade for Aaron Rodgers. They hired Nathaniel Hackett because they believe in him as a coach, because they thought he was the right guy for their organization. The fact that he knows Aaron Rodgers and has a relation, that's a cherry on top. Don't get me wrong. But that's not why they hired Nathaniel Hackett.
Fair enough. But the cherry is the most interesting part of this to me. So I'm jumping in on that part of it, if I may. That said, Diana, as you bring in the crew, you see Lewis Riddick, Damian Woody, Bart Scott, and Diana, coming to you here because in our meeting this morning, you brought up the whole world has Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay already. But it doesn't sound to me like you do.
Yeah, no. I think the whole world has him out because there's been tons of conversations in the league and tons of reporting done that that's definitely on the table. That is an option. And I think Aaron Rodgers has done a really good job of making us all wonder. And he's leaned into basically saying, you know, he is probably going to move on. And then I feel like over the last few weeks, it's changed a bit. And, you know, I think he's been humbled after this loss as well. So as quick as we are to say, okay, Aaron Rodgers is leaving, this hasn't happened yet. And from the conversations I've had, Green Bay is going to try everything they possibly can, and I understand they can only do so much to try to convince him that this is that for him to stay. He is still under contract with the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
Right? He is still a Green Bay Packer. So I do think we need to slow down the conversation about him going.
They have the ninth pick in the draft this year. And Schefter, let me come back to you, because you started all of this on draft day last year with your reporting that,
your fault.
That Aaron Rodgers was unhappy there, which proved to be 1,000% right, and it has sort of begotten all the stuff that has happened since. The idea, the world has basically already moved on from the possibility he stays in Green Bay. The Packers probably have not. What do you know about this, Schefter? How can you inform this part of the conversation?
Look, Aaron Rodgers said that there are going to be conversations between him and the Packers. And look, if we go back to last summer, basically to me, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers made a deal. They made a trade amongst themselves. And the trade was Aaron Rodgers shows up And in return, he's granted the leverage to do what he wants after this past season. He did not have that power and that leverage last summer. He did not have a number of suitors being that teams had made their quarterback plans. He did not have as many options as he wanted. And so the deal with the Packers that he made essentially is, I'll come in, I'll report, I'll be your quarterback this year. And in return, we restructure the contract, we change the language, and we shift the leverage to me for after the 2022-2021 season, which is exactly what happened. So now Aaron Rodgers can do whatever it is that Aaron Rodgers wants. He's had a better relationship with the organization. He's been very clear about that. He's been good with the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. It doesn't mean he's going to stay. It doesn't mean he's going to go. He wants to sit down, take some time, process his thoughts. Now, to me, it would have been easy to just say, I love it in Green Bay, and I don't want to go anywhere. And we didn't hear that. And when you don't hear, I'm staying here, and I don't want to be part of a rebuild for a team that's scheduled to be $44.8 million over the salary cap, that's where all the speculation starts to come in, and that's where people wonder where his future will be. But the fact of the matter is, it goes back to last summer again, Greeny. They made the trade. Rodgers now has the leverage and the ability and the decision to do what he wants this offseason.
And Lewis, pick it up from there, because it isn't as simple as Aaron Rodgers just doing literally whatever he wants. He isn't a free agent. There is a distinction there, and it is significant because they have to contribute to this. They're not going to trade him, I'm just making stuff up here, to the Minnesota Vikings, right, or some team in their division. So there's an element of this that is not in his control. Pick up how you think this goes from here right now, Lewis.
Yeah, I definitely think there are teams, obviously, they're going to be on the phone very quickly as far as trying to figure out what kind of compensation they will need in order to pry Aaron away from Green Bay. I don't think there's any question about that. Look, I think Green Bay has a tough situation on its hands from a salary cap perspective, as Adam just kind of touched on. Look, Aaron's going to need a contract extension. He's not going to play for the – look, he's got, I believe, a $46 million cap number this year or something around that. And I think his base salary is scheduled to be around 27, somewhere in the mid-20s as far as what his paragraph 5 is going to be for this year. He's going to want a contract extension from some new football team coming up here. And it's going to be somewhere in the range of, it's going to be above what Patrick Mahomes is getting on a per-year basis. It's going to be somewhere $45, $46 million plus. And Green Bay's salary cap situation is not very good. Remember, Devontae Adams is someone who also right now is going to be looking to break the bank. And he's going to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, probably somewhere around $27, $28 million per year. They may have to exclusive franchise tag him and not have anybody be able to come after him if they really want to keep him. Plus, they've got Rashawn Gary coming up, who they were going to want to lock into a long-term contract because he's going to be a free agent after 2022. Preston Smith, Sadarius Smith, they have prohibitive cap numbers right now that they also have to figure out, you know, do we keep both of these guys? Do we get rid of one of these guys? We have to re-sign Rashawn Gary. I mean, I think right now, Aaron right now, without a doubt, has set this up to the point where it's probably best for Green Bay to move on, and it's best for him to move on. And he constructed it so it happens that way. I just don't see him returning there for a number of different reasons.
Okay, so let's live in that world for a minute here. We'll come back to it. There's so many different places to go. In keeping Green Bay in the conversation, Damian Woody, if his primary goal, his only consideration is to win a Super Bowl as quickly as possible, we understand people have other priorities in life and whatever, but if the only thing he wants is to win a Super Bowl as quickly as possible, including Green Bay, what's the best place for him next year?
Well, I would probably say Green Bay. I know the roster is probably going to be different. There's no question. Lewis touched upon the cap, salary cap situation. Mm-hmm. But let's look at, when we talk about playoffs, you always start within the division, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chicago, new staff.
Yeah.
Minnesota, new staff.
Right.
Detroit, rebuild. So right then and there, you way ahead of the game if you're the Green Bay Packers. And I know Bart over here huffing and puffing and going to try to blow my house down and all this other stuff and talking about competitiveness. I get all of that. But I'm just pointing out what the facts are. The facts are within your division, and Bart knows this, that's where everything starts. Which side is easier? NFC North, AFC West? You tell me.
That's an easy one. Go ahead, Bart.
I'm glad you asked me that, Damon, because are we talking about winning the division? Or are we talking about winning Super Bowls? Because last I checked, he's been 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, and got bounced at home. So it's not about winning the battle. It's about winning the war. And ultimately, the goal is to win a Super Bowl. And that's not the best place for him to win a Super Bowl because he hasn't been able to get out of the divisional round. What I'm talking about is going somewhere. And listen, they can't even put this team back together again. And this team wasn't good enough to get it done. The other teams within that division is going to be able to get it done. San Francisco ain't going nowhere. Guess what? They're going to get even cheaper because when they get rid of Jimmy G and go to Trey Lance, they're going to have more salary cap space to bring in higher guns. But guess who has salary cap space to absorb and give Aaron Rodgers everything that he wants, plus the same type of weapons that he had when he won, when he had Jordy Nelson, when he had Donald Driver, when he had Greg Jennings. He has one weapon, Devontae Adams. Yeah. That's it.
To be clear, you're talking about Denver.
He can go to Denver, and guess what Denver has? $44 million in salary cap space. Not only are they cheap and talented, they can absorb his salary request and be able to give him continuity in the same type of offense that he's been in for the previous year where he's about to win his second back-to-back MVP.
And they have the ninth pick in the draft, which I assume would be the beginning of the centerpiece of a trade that they would make with Green Bay. Diana, what do you think?
I feel like I have ownership in the Green Bay Packers here because I just keep thinking, what's their succession plan if Aaron Rodgers leaves? Guys, I think it's fair to say they missed on Jordan Love, right? We figured it out after just two games because look at the other young quarterbacks around the league. It didn't take us much to figure out who the studs are, right? Justin Herbert found out an hour before he went out there. We knew by the second quarter, this guy is it. Joe Burrow, two games, it. Right. Josh Allen, it. All these young guys that we knew. Green Bay is not going to just let him walk. I know there's an agreement here, and the language was changed.
He can hold him hostage, Diana, because of his salary cap number. He doesn't have to restructure, so they're going to have to do something because he can hold him hostage. So we ain't going to be able to build nothing, or you're going to let me go. They're going to need a bridge quarterback. Hey, go get Teddy Bridgewater from Denver and get somebody while you get a rebuild in place. You
switch him with Jimmy G. Go San Francisco.
Well, if at this point they genuinely got no draft picks, Mike Tannenbaum was sitting here the other day, Shefty. I'm going to give you the final word. Mike Tannenbaum was sitting here the other day, and he told us that when he was with the Jets and they made the trade for Brett Favre, that the Packers were operating from a position of strength. He could sense that because they knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers. If and when the Packers resign themselves, Shefty, to having to trade Aaron Rodgers, will they be operating from that same position of strength because of Jordan Love?
Well, I think everything comes back to the Jordan Love situation right here. And I don't know that they know that he can be the guy. And so when you're making moves, if it's with Denver, you brought Teddy Bridgewater. I say Drew Lock would be a guy that you'd include in a trade like that, somebody to bring in to compete with Jordan Love. But I don't know that anybody can say right now that Jordan Love is the answer. I think that they were okay with what they saw this past year. I think he showed some things that he hadn't in other years, but still not enough to know whether he's the guy. We just don't know about him right now. And so when you don't know about quarterback, well, then you don't know about a lot of things right now. And that's the trouble area for the Green Bay Packers, in addition to all the salary cap issues. And by the way, that $44.8 million salary cap number, of which they're over the cap, that doesn't even include Devontae Adams before they tag him. So if you're going to put the exclusive tag on him, now what are you talking, $65 million over the cap? I mean, there's a lot of trimming to do here, a lot.
They got a lot of problems. All right, our cup runneth over today. More on this as we go, but as we continue, we got to get to another legendary quarterback's future, Tom Brady. It won't just impact him, his decision, but his family as well. And his Hall of Fame teammate is keeping a close eye on the situation. We're talking about that. Plus, everyone connecting the dots for Sean Payton ending up in Dallas because of his past. Diana has the very latest next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If you are just getting up with us, major breaking news from the NFL. The Denver Broncos are hiring the man on the left in your screen there, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, as their new head coach in Denver, which immediately adds to the speculation that that will become Aaron Rodgers' destination. The two are close. They have an excellent relationship and have had great success together. We've talked about it a lot this morning, and we'll get back to it shortly. In the meantime, speaking of coaches on the move, Sean Payton, as you know, earlier this week announced his decision to step away after 16 years in New Orleans. He says he does not plan to coach another team this year, though he does not rule out a return to coaching in the future. And Diana Russini is here with us this morning, and I know that you have a longstanding and very good relationship with Sean Payton, so you have as good a sense as anyone of where his head is. Where is his head right now?
Not always a good relationship, by the way. It can be combative when you have to cover a team pretty closely. But Payton definitely needs to recharge. He needs a break. He's been very transparent with everybody about that, has some interest in stepping into the media and trying that a bit. But the future for him as a head coach, it's still on the table. It's something he wants to do. I know he's 58 years old, and some of us may think that's a little older. He still acts, behaves like he's 30. I think he still has that energy, too. Cam Jordan was on the show with us earlier speaking to it, too. He has a way with his players. He doesn't like to be called a player's coach. He hates that term, but he truly is. Guys play for him. The identity of the New Orleans Saints has always been established since he's been there. But in terms of what he's going to do next, where he wants to play, I think an organization that Sean is going to gravitate towards is an organization that has a very strong, loud owner. And I feel like I'm saying this and everyone at home listening is going, okay, Jerry Jones, right? So, yeah, does that make sense in terms of what you think Sean Payton would want? You have Dak Prescott. You've got a great roster and offense that, I mean, could you imagine what he would be able to do with an offense with those weapons in terms of coaching them? It would be incredible. But have the conversations happened? From what I can gather, no. No conversations have happened between the Dallas Cowboys and Sean Payton at this point. Is it in the future? Of course, this is going to be the biggest story, I think, not only in the offseason, but during the season.
Well, so during the season would suggest that it doesn't happen before the season begins. I want to bring Lewis in on this thought quickly because and remind everyone of the history between the two. He was on the staff. Sean Payton was on the staff in Dallas when Bill Parcells was the head coach. And Jerry Jones has made no secret of the fact that one of his great regrets was letting that guy get out of the building. So, you know, there's the short term and the long term here. Lewis, how do you see this thing?
Yeah, look, I think in the short term, there's no question, I'm sure, that he's going to pick up the phone and call Sean and say, look, is it out of the realm of possibility that I could convince you to coach in 2022? Now, that would be my bet. That would be what I would do. And that's just given my exposure to Sean as far as his ability to get the big picture and the little picture all at the same time, meaning he understands how to build a roster big picture-wise, both in the short term and long term, and his ability to really adjust in real time to what is happening on a football field and putting his players totally in position to succeed, I think is uncanny and second to none. I've seen it happen in real time, had discussions with him about it. I think he's fantastic in that way. So look, if I was a football team, period, as I said in the previous hour, that was looking at one of the current head coaches and saying, look, if there's any current head coaches, who would I try and pry away from their football team? It'd be Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton. Without a question, hands down, those two would pop to my mind immediately. And I think if you're Jerry Jones right now, you have to be thinking, is there any way I can get him to Dallas? Any way at all?
Bart, if you were Jerry Jones right now, what would you be thinking?
I mean, of course. I mean, I think that's a long-term solution. We've always had that one that got away from us. And if we had an opportunity to get him back, I think we would relish in that moment. You know, but I wanted to ask a question to Diana because, you know, we discussed this at length on my radio show yesterday. You know, is it any bad blood between the Saints and Sean Payton about the current situation that he left them in? He left them with a $71 million deficit and no clear future because that went from one of the best rosters to a roster that's going to probably have to be poached to try and get underneath the salary cap?
Yeah, it's certainly all fair questions. But when you look at the history that he's done, the work that he's put together over the years, I do think there's an understanding. He does have a great relationship with ownership. He always has. And, guys, this wasn't a big surprise for people that have been around him. Also, people in the organization, coaches, players, nobody was shocked by this. This is something that's been in the works for a while, people knowing that Peyton was getting to a point where he just needed a change.
Yeah, and they gave him the hero's farewell the other day, so it wasn't evident that they had hard feelings. You're Jerry Jones. What are you doing? D. Wood.
I'm jumping on the private jet. I'm flying to wherever the hell Sean Payton is. And I'm going to be like, name your price, because everybody has a price, okay? We know in this league, the difference between winning and losing is so minuscule. It's usually situational football, game management. Those are the two things we always talk about with Mike McCarthy. It's like holding that team back. Well, guess what? You bring in a Sean Payton, one of the best coaches in this game. Not only that, but the way he deals with quarterbacks. Sean Payton would elevate Dak Prescott to a whole new level. And working with that offensive talent with the Dallas Cowboys, to me, it wouldn't even be a question what I would do if I'm Jerry Jones right now.
And look, to your point, Bart, the Saints are going to rebuild. What do you need for that? You need draft picks. That's what the Cowboys would have to give them in order to get him. Let me ask you this. If Sean Payton was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys right now, would they still be playing?
I believe so, but it's crazy because when you put the resumes up against each other, they're almost similar.
Yeah.
You talk about the resumes, the wins, the losses, the playoff wins, and at the end of the day, they both only have one Super Bowl win. So it's hard, and I think it's an impossible situation to put Mike McCarthy in because he did get this team in his second year to the playoffs and won the division. So it's a tough sell.
And what has really made the difference for the New Orleans Saints in terms of their success the last few seasons has been their improved defense. That's not what Sean Payton's known for.
Right.
We've been talking about Dennis Allen. He's the one who's really changed that organization.
That said, Drew Brees didn't hurt along the way, right, having that guy. And so you put Sean Payton together. Lewis, I give you the final word. I got 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, and I'll just say this about New Orleans as well. Look, although Dennis Allen is the one who's running the defensive side of things from a game planning and a game calling perspective, Sean has his fingers in every single aspect of what is going on around there. And he understands defensive football as well as he understands offensive football. And I can just tell you this, truly, from an offensive perspective, this guy is one of the very best to ever do it. When you listen to him break down players, break down schemes offensively and defensively, it is next level stuff, man. It's next level stuff. You'd be foolish to not inquire with him about whether or not you can talk him into coaching in 2022. You'd be absolutely foolish.
For what it's worth, the Saints, Bart just showed it to me here, are $71 million over the cap.
Yeah, that's why he said bye.
Going into the
no Drew Brees.
Okay. Hey. We got more legendary quarterbacks making decisions, and we will get to that next. Tom Brady has talked this week of satisfaction. Has sparked a lot of retirement conversation. We'll talk about that and more. Oh, it's a busy morning. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, major breaking news from the NFL. The man on the left of your screen there is Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator the last few years in Green Bay. He is now, as of today, going to become the head coach of the Denver Broncos. And, of course, all the speculation continues about whether he will bring Aaron Rodgers with him. The two are close. They have a good relationship and have had great success together. We've been talking about it all morning. We will continue to. Meanwhile, there's another legendary quarterback that we're talking about. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have any number of question marks entering this offseason, and they all begin with that guy, the seven-time Super Bowl champion, Tom Brady, who after 22 seasons in the league, says he is going to take some time to decide if he wants to return for another. Meanwhile, there's more change afoot. After guiding Tampa to top three in scoring the past 2 years, the offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich could be on the way out. He's interviewing for head coaching jobs. He had a second interview in Jacksonville earlier this week. And then there's Rob Gronkowski. He's been playing on one-year deals each of the last 2 years in Tampa. His decision to return may depend on whether or not Brady is back. Here's what Gronk says.
It will factor in a situation. I mean, I personally... You know, he's got to do what he's got to do for himself and his family, no doubt about that. But then for myself, I got to do what I got to do, you know, what's best for myself and see where I'm at. Like, if they're like, Rob, you know, you got to decide right now, right this second, to play next year. I would say no right now. It's 2 days after the season. I'd be like, no, I'm not playing. But if I had an answer right now, it would be no, Mike. In 3 weeks, it may be yes.
All right, and so again, there's that, and there's Gronk's future and how tied it is to Brady's future, and here is Shefty with us again. Shefty, what do the fans need to know right now about the future of the greatest player of all time?
That it's in question right now, Greeny, but even the greatest player himself doesn't exactly know what he's going to do, and at the end of each season, players take some time to figure out their thought process. But Tom Brady, if you listen to him on his podcast Monday with Jim Gray, he certainly sounded like a player who's contemplating retirement and maybe even leaning in that direction. Talked about the fact that it's not just playing football. We know that Tom Brady can play, still play at an MVP level like he did this season when he was one of the single best players in all of football. Probably could play till he's 75 in his sleep. But the fact of the matter is he's taken time to sacrifice away from his family, away from his children. He's done football every single day for 6 months. When you do a job like that, it becomes your livelihood. You live it. And so Tom Brady, I think, is contemplating or not whether or not he wants to get back to living a regular life, which he's never had. And obviously his wife, as he talked about, doesn't like to see him get hit, wants to be with his kids. And so this is a decision that's bigger than just playing football. This is about what he wants to do with his family and what he has to do to sacrifice to get ready for the coming season. And again, it's in question about whether the greatest football player in history will play football again.
Very much so. There are all those factors on the table. And, Shefty, I did want to ask you about one more thing quickly, because Bart brought up earlier this morning as well that, you know, the Buccaneers ran it back. They brought all those players back. They're going to lose a bunch of them this coming year. So let me ask you, is the decision binary for Brady? Retire or come back as a Buccaneer? Or is there a third option, which is maybe, perhaps unimaginably, he winds up playing someplace else next year? Is that something that we could even possibly imagine?
I mean, anything's always possible in this league. I haven't heard that. I don't expect that. I never rule anything out. But I think this is about whether he wants to play in Tampa or whether he wants to not play at all. That's what this seems to come down to. And I think if Tom Brady decided to return to Tampa, I think all the players would follow along with him. They would figure out contracts. Now, if they could get big money elsewhere, sure, they're going to move on. But people flocked to Tom Brady when he went to Tampa. They would flock to him again if he were to return. But you see a list of their upcoming free agents. There's a lot of players whose future is in question. But again, many of them are not going to get the huge money that they want on the open market. Many of them would be willing to stay in Tampa where there's no state tax. And if Tom Brady is there, I promise you that some of those players would come back for a chance to run it back with the GOAT once again, but that's contingent upon Tom Brady. It's sort of like Aaron Rodgers. When he says, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild, I guess my thought is, what part of a team that Aaron Rodgers is on is ever part of a rebuild if he's there? None.
Yeah, you're automatically a team with a chance to do something special if that's your quarterback. So, Bart, but you're concerned about the ability to keep some of these guys together at least.
Of course, because at some point you give them the hometown discount. And some of those players have no choice. Guys like Pierre Paul, they're later in their process. So they'll be running it back. But guys like OJ the Juice Man, guys like Chris Godwin, I know, who's coming off injury. You know, those guys have to go get their money. And that's the same situation that's up there in Green Bay, right? You talk about franchising Davante Adams. He's 29 years old. Like, the kid deserves the opportunity to get his money, because those opportunities are going to be far between in the future.
Let me ask you a question. Yes, I understand that some of those guys will leave. But maybe Shefty's point, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is if Tom Brady is there, others will come.
But they did, right? That.
People will come there. It doesn't have to be the same exact people, but people who can do the same exact job. Mm-hmm.
So what I heard, like, and everybody heard different things from when he was talking, he said it also has to do with what type of team we can put together. Mm-hmm. And without Antonio Brown, we saw that they were exposed, that offense didn't look the same. And I think that he knows in his heart of hearts that it's over with for the ability also to put a team where he had two or three of everything. He had three tight ends that people would love to have. He had four receivers that people would love to have. Skyler Miller ain't getting it done. Mike Evans is a great talent, but you only can do so much with one or two great players.
Diana, jump in here.
Yeah, I think everything he said, I believe Tom Brady when he's talking about all the things that he's considering, but those are the things he was considering after New England as well. We heard that same type of thing, Giselle, family, kids. His kids are getting older now. He wants to spend more time with them. All of this is exactly what he said a few years ago. I just have a hard time believing that Tom Brady can rest that voice, that competition, when he's still playing so well. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to hang it up when you're done and you don't have it anymore. We've seen other quarterbacks like Peyton Manning. It was time. It's not time for Tom Brady.
Lewis, let me ask you this, though, because D-Wood brought it up, and Dominique earlier this week seized on it immediately. Brady also on Monday night used the word satisfied, and that is a word that we typically never hear from the mouths of people like Tom Brady and the others in his very, very rare echelon, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. We all know who the list is. Did that speak to you in any way that gave you a hint of where his mind is?
Well, sure. I don't think Tom would say that if he didn't mean it to some degree, that he would feel as though he has done everything he could possibly do in the NFL. Hell, he could have said that 5 years ago. He could have said that 10 years ago, that he did everything that he needed to do in the NFL to cement his legacy as one of the greatest ever, if not the very greatest ever. So for him to audibly say that now at this point in time, which is really, you'd have to assume, is why he still plays the game, because he feels that as though there are still more football worlds to conquer in his mind. Then for him to say what he has said about being satisfied, that has to lead you to believe that, you know what, he definitely is weighing the risk versus the reward. He's definitely weighing the sacrifice and the commitment versus what would his life look like if he was to step away from football and really just immerse himself in his private business ventures and his family. Because he would feel as though, look, I've set this. Look, I've done this. I've done this. I've established myself as the greatest ever. And he's kind of saying, hey, look, I'm good. I'm good one way or another right now. That changes the decision-making process in my mind exponentially as far as what he is going to do, although we still have no idea what he's ultimately going to do.
And D-Wood, a lifetime ago, you were his teammate when he was a young player and the world didn't know his name. Obviously, the circumstances couldn't be more different than they were 20 years ago. But to at least that extent that you know him, what is your thought on all of this?
I think every athlete, Tom Brady included, goes through an assessment, a checklist of, man, what have I done? And I think obviously we know about his time hitting the 20 years in New England. Then to be able to leave that organization and win a championship. Yep. And when you look at everything in its totality, combine that with your family, it's just like, that. To me, that's why he said the word satisfied. Like, what more, if you're Tom Brady, what more do you have to accomplish?
Yeah.
You had to run in New England. You left the Patriot way. You won a championship outside of that. It's like, okay, job well done, if Tom Brady was
very talking. Quickly, I'm sorry, Diana, but very quickly, because for those just joining us, tell that story again about your last game.
Yeah, listen, my last game, played in a wild card game against the Indianapolis Colts. I end up tearing my Achilles on the last play of the game. I walk out with a walking boot. My whole family was at the game. I turn the corner. They saw me in a walking boot. They just started crying. And in that moment, I knew it was time to go home. Mm. I knew it was time to go home because I had sacrificed so much time away from home that I knew in that moment I can't do it anymore.
And my thought on that is injury was going to weigh on your decision there, right? Because you knew what that was going to take, the energy, the time. Tom Brady's not injured. He's still I would even say,
you know, in Tom Brady's situation, I don't think, like, even if injury isn't a part of the equation, I'm just thinking that
But here's the thing,
it's going
to be 45 years old.
And this is what people don't understand, right? Yeah. Like, our spouses see us in our most vulnerable positions. And the fact that she talked about his concussions that's not reported, you think about quality of life. You think about the hits that he's taken. Now, listen, either you can retire from this game or this game will eventually retire you. You hear about guys like Tony Dorsett, all these guys that are having, you know, injuries and having, you know, complications with the head trauma.
Yeah.
And she's seen it. We don't see it because it's not on the report.
She was talking about that almost 5 years ago. All right, we'll continue in just a moment here. It is such a busy day. It's hard to get to everything, but we're getting to this. The Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos reports are picking up major steam this morning. We'll tell you why and whether or not it's a good idea right after this. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If you are just getting up with us, a big moment is on the way. Those are tiny helmets. A very large man is going to be smashing them with a mallet. And that man is Damian Woody. He's ready to go. We'll be making our picks as only we can in just a few minutes here. In the meantime, we have major breaking news in the NFL today. And that comes from Green Bay and then to Denver, where Nathaniel Hackett, the man on the left of your screen there, who has spent the last 3 years as Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator, they've developed a good relationship and had great success. He is going to be the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. And so, as I bring Adam Schefter back into the conversation, I just had one of the biggest Bronco fans I know text me, Greeny, does this mean Aaron Rodgers is coming? Schefty, what should I write back?
You should write back, Greeny, one step at a time, even though that's not what we do here on Get Up, one step at a time. Basically, the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett because they believe in him as a coach. They thought he would be the right guy to reset their culture, to change the program, to bring them back to their winning ways, and they've missed the playoffs 6 straight years since going and winning the Super Bowl, the first team in NFL history to miss the playoffs 6 straight years after winning the Super Bowl. They hired Nathaniel Hackett because of the coach and man that he is, not because they thought he would provide the key for trading for Aaron Rodgers. The fact that he knows Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett, is that a bonus? Absolutely. Let's not be naive to that fact, but that's not why the Denver Broncos went out and hired Aaron Rodgers, because there's no assurances that Denver will be able to pull off a trade, even though the Broncos would like to, as they wanted to last offseason and couldn't get it done. So you hire Hackett because he's the coach. You make your run at Aaron Rodgers this offseason. The fact that you have Hackett is a plus in your corner, but it doesn't assure you that you're going to get Aaron Rodgers.
Fair enough. Now, here's another thing, Lewis, that I think is a plus in their corner, which is if I'm the Packers, and I'm making you the person in charge of Brian Gutekunst, whoever ultimately makes this decision in Green Bay, if and when the moment comes when I realize he's going, there's nothing I can do that is going to keep Aaron Rodgers here, then I assume the first thing you want to do is get him out of the NFC, right? And so the fact that this is now a coach he likes on an AFC team, I have to believe that that checks a couple of quick boxes is the way I'm looking at it. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I think you're going down the right path here. For sure, you don't want him in your division. You don't want him in your conference. And you would like to go ahead and send him somewhere where you look, if you really want to take this next level in terms of relationships, you want to send him somewhere where he's going to be happy, where he's going to have a chance to compete for championships away from where you are direct competition. And that's just a good way of doing business in the NFL. Yeah, it's cutthroat, but it's a good way of doing business. So, yeah, if you can strike the right kind of compensation deal with Denver, then you would obviously go, okay, that's probably the best of both worlds. We get what we need in terms of compensation to really build out the rest of this roster that's going to look markedly different here in 2022. The Packers are not going to be the same with or without Aaron Rodgers in 2022. So, one, you get compensation, and two, he gets to go to a place where he has familiarity with the head coach and play caller and has weapons all over the place. It can be a win-win situation for both teams.
Can I ask a quick question here? Because Tim Hasselbeck brought this up on the show yesterday. In a league where Matthew Stafford, a year ago, went for two first-round picks and a starting quarterback, what in the world is the compensation for Aaron Rodgers?
That's a great question. The compensation is whatever teams are willing to pay for him. And that's what you really, you know, if you're sitting there as in Green Bay's situation, you know, look, Green Bay may not have hired Nathaniel Hackett because he would be the trump card to try and lure Aaron Rodgers, but you also know you'd be foolish to not know that they are looking, you know, in the short term as that being a very viable option for them being able to answer the questions at their quarterback position. And if you're Green Bay and you know that, and you know that they would love to have him with Nathaniel, with those with that weaponry there, then the price just goes up, Greeny. It just absolutely goes up, especially considering what position you are in terms of building out your own football team and how it's going to need to be restructured. So the price may be higher than what it was for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. Well, Diana, what do you think?
I believe that the price tag for Matthew Stafford was three ones, and I believe Denver would have paid three ones last offseason and then some for Aaron Rodgers. And when you say what is the price for Aaron Rodgers, I would say to you, there is no price too great for another team to pay for a quarterback like that. That's just the way that it is. If the Broncos had to give up five ones and they want to soup, would that be worth it? It absolutely would be.
Why are you saying no?
They
have one piece they're missing.
I wouldn't give up five ones.
They have the ninth pick in the draft this year.
Like at some point, you say, well, hey, let's go call Seattle and see if I can get Russell Wilson. Listen, you know, five ones will cripple your organization.
I'm just saying hypothetically, but I'm just throwing out a number. My point is there's no price that's too high. And if the Green Bay Packers have multiple bidders for Aaron Rodgers, then the price goes up and they can continue to extract more and more from teams. But to my point, I don't care what the price is. It's not too great that you have to give up for one of the great players in the game, period.
Give me a quick thought, Diana. Go.
I'm in agreement with him. I knew you were going to ask me what is the price, and my thought was whatever your team needs to do to get him.
Exactly.
So Green Bay will not just need draft picks. They're going to need bodies. And I think when you look at Denver, you may give up and lose a Patrick Surtain Jr. You may lose a guy because Denver has money to go out and buy what they give up. But I think it's going to be a combination or has to be a combination of draft picks and ready, proven players because if Aaron's gone, Devontae's gone. So you're going to need some receivers.
Okay. It's been a wild morning here with all the insight, and we will get back to that and obviously continued coverage of this as we go. But a big man's got to smash some helmets. We've got to pick these games this weekend. With the news today that Aaron Rodgers, former coordinator, is now in Denver, the speculation is rolling, and First Take will continue the conversation. They're coming up top of the hour right here on ESPN. But first things first, Damian Woody, get over there and grab a mallet for crying out loud. We got to smash some helmets and decide who's winning these games this weekend. That's next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big men, tiny helmets. I think I work for it. He's got the shield. We got the goggles. Who gets their helmet smashed?
Do not kill me with these helmets.
Watch yourself.
You might want to put that shirt up.
Oh, a little piece of that actually went in my mouth.
You okay, my friend?
No. I have like a little bit of helmet in my mouth.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm literally taking out the set here. This shrapnel be going everywhere. I got myself with the shrapnel.
This segment is dangerous. No truth to the rumor that I've missed a lot of Thursdays because I'm afraid of this. It is time for the big fella and the tiny helmets. We're going to make our picks on the championship games here as only Damian Woody can. So the AFC game is first. You have the Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Kansas City Chiefs. Who's getting smashed?
Well, listen, when you're a young team, sometimes when you're young, you don't know what you don't know, right? Oh. You know, you just out here balling Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. They got a bunch of young dogs out there making things happen. But Diana, what did did you tell me? What did you tell me about this team right here?
I said I'm scared of their pass rush and getting at Joe Burrow. 9 sacks the Titans got to Joe Burrow, so I'm a little worried. But they also have this guy named Patrick Mahomes. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't lost that game since October.
Stretty Betty. Oh.
You see that? You see that? You see that? They haven't lost a game since October.
Helmet has survived, and yes, they will go on to the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, the NFC game here, we got the Rams and the 49ers. That game's in L.A. Diana will be there.
Yes.
Who's going to get smashed?
Yeah, listen, the San Francisco 49ers swept. This is the season series, but this is not the regular season. We've seen Matthew Stafford. It's coming up big, making plays. You got OBJ. You got Cooper Kupp. You got Aaron Donald and company. Von Miller coming off the edge. That's why they brought in Von Miller and company for this moment right here, to get them over the edge. So, smash the 49ers. See how that shrapnel just went everywhere?
It was perfect.
I don't even know why I even stood over here. The shrapnel going everywhere.
That thing actually just flew all the way across the room. And actually, in honor of this, Brandon, bring him in here. Oh. We have here the final compilation. These are all the smashed helmets from the entirety of this season. All the helmets that he smashed. Well done, D-Wood.
I'm kind of disappointed. Look at this. Philly intact? Like, that's
Eagles live.
That's bad.
They're
very hard to get rid of. One way or another, we'll do something with these. Maybe we'll give them away on the radio or something like that. Meanwhile, the rest of us will make our picks. Diana's got to cover the game, so she won't. But let's make our picks in the NFC game here. Let's put the picks up on the screen. Who are we going to first? Let us see here. It will be Cindy. Go ahead, put them up there if we can. Well, Lewis, I'm just starting with you. Who's going to win the NFC game, the Rams or the Niners?
Look, I just like the way this is a tough one for me, but I like the way the 49ers are playing, man. I just like their DNA. I like their mentality. This is a team that won't be denied right now. I'm going San Francisco in this game. As much as I love Matthew Stafford and love my boy AD, I'm going 49ers.
San Francisco. D. Wood obviously already smashed the Niners, so he's got the Rams. Bart Scott, who you got?
It's been a game of musical chairs, right? And the worst quarterback left has always been the one left without a seat. Jimmy G is that quarterback, and I think the battle of attrition, Trent Williams being injured, Deebo Samuel's being banged up, it takes a lot of energy to win the games they won. I'm going with the Rams in the rubber match.
I have to tell you, I still can't believe they're here. Like, I've watched all the game. They shouldn't have beaten the Rams the first time. I didn't think they would beat the Cowboys. They were 1 second away, and I didn't think they'd win last week. They've won more unlikely games than this. Give me San Francisco. That team just finds a way to win these games. They're going to, by the way, I don't care what the ticket policy is, that building is going to be filled with Niners fans. Yeah. All right, the AFC game in Kansas City. Let's make the picks. D. Wood has already smashed the Bengals. Lewis, who you got?
Chiefs, home field this time. The pass rush really ramps it up. Patrick gets back to the Super Bowl.
Bart, who you got?
I got to go with Patrick Mahomes. I think Joe Burrow doesn't get the Stretty Betty price.
I'm going to say this. 25 teams have played overtime games in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Do you know what those teams, the winning teams in those games, their record is the following week? It's 8-17. Overtime takes a lot out of you. Give me the Bengals in the upset of the millennium.
Okay.
Let's see what happens. Great smash.
Yes.
Great day. The conversation continues as Aaron Rodgers on his way to Denver. They're talking about that and more as First Take starts now.